Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As you know, normally we try to put a picture on the front of the bulletin that is pertinent to the sermon on the content of the preacher. And this is related to the gospel reading we heard Deacon Ayo just read us from Mark chapter 9. We see Jesus with a child, or looks more like a teen or a tween, really, and he's comforting him. And the story, as you know, we just heard, is that the disciples were going off the rails. They were arguing among themselves of who is the greatest. And when Jesus said, "What are you arguing about?" they decided to tell the truth, which he probably already knew anyway, right? He's Jesus. And then he gave them a little story. He reminded them, what he often does is he turns things upside down. He said, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Reminding them of what it means to be a disciple, to be a servant, to serve, not to be served. It's kind of like that passage in the Bible where he says, if you're ever invited to a dinner party, do not take the place of honor, but sit down at the end of the table, and then the host will invite you up. Being reminded to not have pride, to be reminded to have humility and gentleness of heart and compassion of how one comports oneself. So then he took a child and put it among them. He said, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and not only me, but the one who sent me. So as you may remember, in those days, back in the days of Jesus, children were not worth much until they grew up and were a productive member of the family or of society. They were the lowest of the low. Thank goodness that's not the case now. And so Jesus uses the child and children as an example to show a childlike innocence that we all must have, and to deflate those egos of the disciples, or our egos sometimes, when we have misguided agendas seeking power or authority or to be the greatest. And the greatest in this context is lording it over someone else, right? So, we've never had that happen, have we? Never. We never go off the rails like the disciples did, do we? So, he uses this example. So, I want to tell you about this particular gospel lesson in the context of not something just so kind of ethereal and theoretical. If you look in your insert today, you'll see this, in your bulletin, you'll see this insert, Compassion International. And so I first heard of this organization when I was visiting my mother down in Florida, who goes to a very large Presbyterian church with a couple thousand members. And in the season, there are more members because they get their snowbirds, they come down, and then they go back up north after, as often happens in Florida. And a couple years ago is when I first heard of this. And at the time, my mother's church, the members there were sponsoring about 560 children. And so I got interested and I decided to sponsor a child myself. And I have a young man that I sponsor, a child now. He's older now. He's 11. He lives in Indonesia. His name is Rizky Ezra Abdullah. So his middle name is Jewish and his last name is Muslim, Islamic. And if you look at the insert here, and this organization, by the way, has been vetted very well. It ranks very high up in the philanthropy organizations that check and make sure that the money is actually going to the folks in need. And I want to share some of these statistics with you and make a point. So you see on your paper there, every 30 seconds a child dies of malaria, preventable disease. Millions of primary school children don't attend school. Oftentimes in third world nations, it's because they can't afford a uniform, which is part of the culture. Over 2 million people live on less than $2 a day. Nearly half of the world's children live in poverty. And hundreds of millions live in extreme poverty. We can't even imagine what that's like. Because poverty in the U.S. is different than poverty overseas. 22,000 children die every day due to conditions of poverty. 640 million children live without adequate shelter. 1.1 billion people in developing countries do not have access to clean water, which, as you know, then disease can spread when you don't have clean water. And then you wonder how many die from that. So when I sponsored Risky a couple years ago, it was $38 a month, and it's still $38 a month, which comes out to $1.23 a day. Now, I don't go to Starbucks very much because I prefer Dunkin' Donuts. But when I do go to Starbucks and I'm with someone and they order a cappuccino, frattolino, blah, 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 with a half calf, half this, that, the other, and all, I don't know how those baristas speak back the order they just heard. That's a lot of training to do that. And I go in and I'm like, I just don't need all that because I don't want all that sugar and I don't want to pay that price. So I just, could I have a small coffee? You want a tall coffee? Venti? I'm like, no. I'm a simple guy. Small, medium, and large. You know, I don't know why we have to. So they're like, okay, I'll give you. But you know what? It's more than $1.23 for just a plain old cup of coffee at Starbucks. And I wonder what we can do in terms of the gospel if we are so called by this passage today or this opportunity to sponsor a child, and maybe you already do somewhere. And what that does is that in each of the countries where this is located, they provide a structure. They provide school. They provide uniforms. They help to decrease illiteracy and provide those critical skills to help rise out of poverty. It provides love. It provides a religious, Christ-centered guidance, if you will, although without proselytizing. It provides health care, supplements to help with malnutrition, and recreation to be active and not to have gangs sweep you off the street in places that are so bad like Honduras and El Salvador and Guatemala. And so when I was signing up for this with Compassion International, they said, do you have any particular requests for various countries or regions of the world where you want to have a child? And I said, no, not really. I'm just whatever is most needed. And they said, well, would you mind if we pick Indonesia for you? I said, that's fine. I said, and I was kind of interested. I said, well, why are you having trouble in Indonesia? Well, that's the most populous country in the world with Muslims. And a lot of the evangelical Christian churches do not want to sponsor a non-Christian child because they think they're bringing a child to Christ as part of kind of their view of the gospel imperative in Matthew 28. And I said, well, I'm just wherever you need to help. I'm not here to convert somebody. I just want to help them get out of poverty. And so I made a commitment to sponsor Risky Ezra Abdullah through high school, maybe through college, if he wants to go. And so he just turned 11, so I started sponsoring him when he was 8. And this is him right here. This is little Risky. And when I was thinking about him and about the concern that he might be Muslim, which he is, I said, I want to go over to Gateway and teach them about world religions, because it's the same God of the Jews and the Muslims and the Christians. Because if you remember, Abraham and Sarah had Isaac, which is the Jewish lineage, and Abraham and Hagar had Ishmael, the father of Islam, which is the Islamic branch of the tree. And Christianity came out of the Jewish branch in the Hellenistic world, the Greek world. And we're all the same. As a matter of fact, Allah literally means the God, a monotheistic religion, the same God that we have. And I don't know if I'm ever going to meet this child. I don't know if I'll ever make it over to Indonesia. Maybe, maybe not. I don't have a clue. Maybe he'll come to the U.S. But to be able to think about, for $1.23 a day, am I willing to not have my more expensive coffee for this child? And some say, well, you know, there's so many people hurting in the U.S., I don't believe that we should help people overseas. And my view is, well, can I do both? Why does it have to be either or? Why not both? That's the Anglican way, both and, right? And we do, and this parish is so great about helping so many folks in need. As a matter of fact, the little red thing in your pew, last weekend we got, and that little tiny thing for Four Saints Food Pantry, which is in a food desert in East Fort Worth, we got $468 in coins and cash, and then someone wrote a check for $1,000. Well, we have 57 to 60 people coming every Friday to get some food. And that's not just 57 mouths. That's over 200 mouths of folks who are living paycheck to paycheck, as so many of us do. And even though we may live paycheck to paycheck, to be able to scrape up $1.23 a day. Or as someone earlier told me, well, my daughter goes out and gets all this frappuccino latte, blah, blah, blah. It's $5, so she could sponsor about three kids or four kids. But think about it. And so his birthday just happened, and we sent him a gift. And then Christmas is coming up, so we can send a gift. And he'll write a little letter. Thank you. And checking in, how you doing? And they have teams in the various countries that will translate into English the letters. And we get it in the mail. And you might have seen some of these giant 18-wheelers that go around, especially to the large churches like Gateway, that say Compassion International on the side of the truck. And to think about what a wonderful way for your grandchildren or your own children to be able to have a friend overseas and to be able to connect and to see and to care and love and to realize that Jesus, God, loves us all, regardless of our religion, regardless of our Jewish middle name or our Muslim last name. And what a wonderful opportunity to help the life of one human being. We just prayed the collect, if you look at that, that we prayed to not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we're among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. What better way to something that shall endure is to help the life of a child in this world? We can't help everyone, but we can help one person each or more. So what I want to do now is I'm going to ask you to open the prayer book in front of you, if you don't mind, and turn to page, it's in the 800s. Page 829, Prayer for Children. I'm going to ask us to pray this together on page 829, to think about maybe where God is calling you to sponsor a child. And even if you're saying, well, I'm 99 years old, and I don't know if I can get involved in that because I may pass on, but maybe you could let your children and grandchildren know that you want that to be your legacy to continue. So let's pray prayer 46 together. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with the joy and care of children. Give us calm strength and patient wisdom as we bring them up, that we may teach them to love whatever is just and true and good, following the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you'll turn forward, back one page, 826, prayer 35 for the poor and neglected. And there's so many around the world. Let's pray together. Almighty and most merciful God, we remember before you all poor and neglected persons whom it would be easy for us to forget, the homeless and the destitute, the old and the sick, and all who have none to care for them. Help us to heal those who are broken in body or spirit, and to turn their sorrow into joy. Grant this, Father, for the love of your Son, who for our sake became poor, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And for our sake, our Lord became poor. And he says, whoever welcomes this child welcomes me and the one who sent me. Amen. I'm going to leave this up here and let you look at Risky as you come up for communion and maybe say a prayer for him and for all children around the world and where God may be calling you to help just one child today. Amen.